Well, dear friends, please turn with me in your Bibles to the book of the prophet Hosea. Hosea and chapter 10. We read from chapter 6, but our verse this morning is in chapter 10. Hosea chapter 10. Verse 12. Hosea chapter 10, verse 12. Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord. And our subject this morning is saved in time, saved in time. And we come to these glorious words in the book of Hosea, words that are full of gospel application, even though they are in the Old Testament. These words would not look out of place in the New Testament. All the components, all the essential aspects of the gospel are to be found in this verse, and we could have spent a lot of time looking at every part of it, but my focus really will be on that part that reads, it is time to seek the Lord. And this really is a message that we need to hear, particularly at this present time. But this book of Hosea, just to give very brief context, the prophet Hosea, as I've already mentioned, is the first of the minor prophets. And well, they are called the minor prophets from Hosea right to Malachi at the end of the Old Testament. Minor, not because they're less important than any of the others, but because they have shorter prophecies. And Hosea, he lived roughly around 750 years before the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. But Hosea, well, like so many of the prophets, his message was one of warning. Warning to the northern kingdom of Israel. You will know, of course, that when Moses led the children of Israel out of Egypt, out of slavery, they were one people, one nation, but they didn't remain one nation. They were split. The 10 tribes split. The 12 tribes, rather, split. 10 tribes went to the northern kingdom of Israel, and 2 went to Judah, the southern kingdom. But Hosea was a prophet to the northern kingdom. And the northern kingdom departed from their God. The northern kingdom was unfaithful to their God. They worshipped other gods, particularly Baal. Baal worship was commonplace in Israel, and that was so sad because God loved Israel. God had saved Israel, protected Israel. He had pledged himself to Israel, and Israel was unfaithful, like an adulterous spouse. That is how the prophet puts it. This is how it is repeatedly presented in the book of Hosea. Israel is unfaithful, guilty of adultery, spiritual adultery, worshipping other gods. And Hosea, well, of course, he warns Israel that there will be consequences for their adultery. And he desires to call them back to God. We read in our scripture reading Hosea chapter 6. And Hosea, well, he exhorts the people, come and let us return unto the Lord. He calls them to repentance. He wants to call them back to God. And in this verse also, he is calling them back to God. Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground. Well, the prophet is using agricultural language, farming language, sowing and reaping. That's the language he's using. Like a farmer sows seed on a field in springtime, and then in the harvest, he will reap a harvest. The illustration is there. It's a farming illustration, but it's so relevant for the gospel. And we often mention this. When you hear the gospel, well, a kind of sowing is taking place. When I preach the gospel, it's almost as though I am sowing, like a farmer sows seeds. But I am sowing gospel seed. I'm preaching the word of God, presenting it to you, sowing it to you. But the question is, how will you receive it? How will you receive the gospel seed? How will you receive the words that I preach this morning? Will they fall on good ground, on good soil? Is your heart open to the word of God? Or will the gospel fall on stony ground, or like fallow ground? That's what the prophet Hosea says here. Fallow ground. Fallow ground, well, that was ground that was not for planting. That was ground that was overgrown with thorns and weeds. That was like the state of the nation of Israel. That was like their hearts. Their hearts were not open to the word of God. They were hardened. They had thorns of unbelief. Their love had been lost. And so the seed, the word of God, could not take root. Is that like you? You hear the word of God, but there's no place in your heart for it. Your heart is hardened. It's full of thistles of unbelief and atheism. Dear friends, the words of the prophet Hosea, break up your fallow ground, remove those weeds, remove those thistles, remove your unbelief, prepare your hearts to receive the word of God. That's a good way to start this morning, isn't it? Prepare your hearts to receive the word of God. May the word of God fall on fertile ground even this morning. But we'll come back to this illustration a bit later, this agricultural illustration. But my focus this morning, as I've already mentioned, is the second part of the verse. For it is time to seek the Lord. Very simple this morning. And well, I don't just want to speak about how it is time to seek the Lord, but I want to speak just a little bit about time itself. Time itself, and we've mentioned this, or we do mention this from time to time, but I trust we all know and understand that God is the ruler of all time. Well, God is the ruler of everything. There is nothing that God does not rule over, but God is the ruler of time. God is not bound by time. Time has a beginning and time has an end. But God does not have a beginning and God does not have an end. He is not bound by time. He dwells outside of time. He dwells in eternity. He is from everlasting to everlasting. He's not bound by time. In fact, he is the creator of time. When we think of the creation and the Genesis account, yes, God created the heaven and the earth, but you know, he also created time. That's very clear. He creates a 24-hour day. That's the first thing he does. And he orders it. He orders the day. Some part of it will be the evening. Another part of it will be the morning. God has determined the times of the day. God has determined how long a week will last. 7 days in a week. Who ordered that? Who determined that? It's God who sets these things. In a year, well, there are the seasons, the summer, the winter, the springtime, the harvest. God has ordered all those things, that these things will appear at certain times. God is the ruler of time, and we have to understand this. God, of course, orders all things that do occur in time. And you don't need to turn to it, but there is, of course, that very well-known passage of Scripture in Ecclesiastes chapter 3. To everything there is a season and a time, to every purpose under the heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, and it goes on. And God is over all of these things. God has appointed all of these seasons. God is ruling over everything. God is the ruler of time. We, of course, are not the rulers of time. We are bound by time. We cannot, for example, we cannot stop time. Sometimes we would like to stop time in happy times of our lives. You speak to people sometimes, oh, if I could have stopped time just at this point of my life, I would have been wonderfully happy. But you can't stop time. Time rules over us. We can't go back in time. We would like to go back in time. We all have regrets. We all have made mistakes, things we have done that perhaps have long-lasting consequences. But you can't go back in time and correct them. We have to move forward. And yet, even though we have to move forward, we cannot see ahead of ourselves in time. We cannot see into the future. We'd like to see into the future. Particularly at this time, we'd like to know what the world is going to be like in a week's time, but we can't see it. Time rules over us. We are bound by time. But God, of course, is not. God can see all things. God, well, he sees the past as though it is the present, and he sees the future as though it is the past. He is not bound like we are. God is the ruler of all time. And time, well, it is an amazing thing that we are set, we live in time. But time, of course, for us is limited. We only have a limited time here on this earth. We know that. We are mortal. 70 odd years, sometimes more, sometimes less. In Psalm 90, we are told to number our days. Because our time is limited. We don't have all the time that we want. And it goes so quickly. Time is limited for us and time is so precious. And the Bible teaches us, and the prophet Hosea teaches us, that in the short time that we have on this earth, we must seek the Lord. We must seek the Lord. In this short time that we are here, it is imperative. And it's so easy. Do you know how easy it is to seek the Lord? You can seek the Lord at any time, whether you're young, whether you're teenage, young adult, middle-aged, elderly. You can seek the Lord at any age. You can seek the Lord at all times. God is available at all times. Morning, afternoon, evening, in the middle of the night, you can seek the Lord. There's no time when he's unavailable. There's no time when he's closed. You can always seek the Lord, any time, all the time. It's so easy. And yet, how many people actually seek him? Not many. Not many people seek the Lord. How many people do you know amongst your friends? In your family, how many people seek the Lord? They don't, generally speaking. People only seek the Lord. They only seek the Lord when things go wrong, it seems. When people lose their jobs, or when there is some crisis in their lives, perhaps when there's a bereavement in the family, suddenly they think to themselves, now it's time to seek the Lord. And well, yes, that's good. God will always hear when you cry out to him. God is a help to those who are in sorrow. But you know, even if everything is going well, you still need to seek the Lord. Sometimes you hear people, they say to you, why do I need to seek God? Everything's fine in my life. I've got lots of money. I have a nice family, nice house. Why do I need to seek the Lord? I don't need to. Yes, you do. You need to seek the Lord to thank the Lord for all that you have, to thank him. Remember that God rules over everything. Anything could have happened to you in your life, but God has kept you. God has blessed you in a certain way. God has prospered you. You need to seek Him to thank Him. If you don't thank Him, that's a great sin. If you don't want to acknowledge Him, the God who has given you all things in your life, that is a terrible sin, that lack of thankfulness. You have a great debt to God. You have a great obligation. You must seek the Lord to thank Him. And so this is how we must communicate to those who think they have no need to seek the Lord. But Israel, let's focus on Israel just for a moment. Israel was told to seek the Lord because of her sin. We read in verse 13, Hosea saying to those in Israel, "Ye have plowed wickedness, ye have reaped iniquity." Well, what does that mean? Well, plowed wickedness, it means that they planned deliberately, they set out to rebel against God, to sin against God. They were meticulous. They calculated it. They cultivated their rebellion. It was like they were sowing something else, not sowing righteousness. They deliberately sowed wickedness and evil. That's what they went after. They didn't want the true God. And well, when we look at the world nowadays, the world, the modern world, well, this is what they have done in the last 30, 40 years, perhaps longer than that. There has been a deliberate effort and attempt to turn away from God, to plow wickedness for itself. We will not have God in our education. We will not have God in our culture. We will not have God in our media. We will turn away from the living God. Deliberately, they're plowing wickedness. And what has happened? Well, Israel reaped iniquity. It didn't end well for Israel. Things actually got worse. And we say this all the time. When you deliberately turn away from God and go your own way and do your own thing and you don't want God in your life, does it end wonderfully for you? No, it doesn't. It doesn't lead to peace. It doesn't lead to happiness. In fact, it leads to more sin. Sin in your life. Sin that gets out of control. One sin leads to another sin. Ye reap iniquity. And with sin and iniquity comes distress and despair and chaos and confusion. That's what happens when you plow to wickedness. There is only an increase in misery and distress. Well, again, this is what we see nowadays in the world. We gather this morning and we're very aware of all that is going on around us. And this is the result. A world that has turned away from God is reaping in iniquity. You know, all of these things that we see around us, really, you can see them as alarms. We've been looking at this in our midweek Bible study in the book of Revelation. These things are alarms. You know, you set an alarm so that you know what time it is. You set an alarm in the morning to tell you it's time to get up. You sometimes set an alarm to remind you that it's time to take your medication or do something else. But these things that we see in the world around us, they are alarms. The wars, the rumors of wars, the pandemic, they are alarms to tell us what? To tell us that it's time to seek the Lord. It's time to seek the Lord. That's what they're telling us, these alarms. It's not time to put all your faith in the world. It's not time to think that the world is okay. The world can do without God. The world can just, if we just manage to get along, everything will be all right. Now is not the time to think that. It is time to seek the Lord. These alarms are designed to make you wake up and see that this is time to seek the Lord. And well, this was the warning of the prophet Hosea to the children of Israel, and it applies to us. There are alarms around us It is not time to chase after futile things of the world, to put our faith in the world. It's time to put our faith in God. And you must rush. This is another thing that is presented to us in this passage. You must rush. You know, if you haven't come to the Lord, you're very late. You're running late. If you're not saved, you should have been saved a long time ago. You're late. It's like when you wake up and you look at the clock and it's 9 o'clock and you realize I should have been at work at 8. Or I should have been at school at 8. I'm late. And what do? You rush. You rush to put your clothes on and get out of the house. I'm late. I should have been there a lot earlier. Well, that's how you should be with the Lord. You're late for your salvation. You should have come to the Lord a lot earlier. Do you not realize how late you are? And one day it'll be too late. Again, we say this repeatedly. One day it will be too late for you. Your life may be cut short. How long do you have left? Think of the dear people in Ukraine. They must have thought, not so long ago, maybe even only a couple of weeks ago, all of them would live very long lives. Now look what's happened. We never know how long we have left in this world. One day it will be too late for you to seek and find the Lord. Your life might be cut off before you know it. And of course, we know that Christ will return one day. He will come back to judge this world. And how are you going to fare then? It will be too late when the Lord Jesus Christ returns. You will have to stand before God. And what will you have? What will you have? You know, life without God, let me put it to you in this way. Life without God is a complete waste of time. It's a complete waste of time. Yes, you can do good things in your life, in the world. You can travel many places. You can earn a lot of money and do all those things. But it's actually a waste of time, because at the very end of time, you have to stand before God. And only then will you realize, I wasted my time in my life. I never did anything for the salvation of my soul. I didn't seek the Lord. I just wasted my time doing things that I wanted to do. I never sought the Lord, and now I stand before God. Oh, if only I'd spent my time more wisely. If only I'd sought the Lord while there was yet time. Life without God is a complete waste of time, because you have nothing to take into eternity. You have nothing to offer God. Dear friends, these are so serious. Now is the time. You must come. You must rush. You must seek with great urgency. It is time to seek the Lord. Well, how do we seek? Let me just bring some final things in conclusion. How do we seek the Lord? Well, we repent. Sow to yourselves in righteousness, says the prophet Hosea in verse 12. Sow to yourselves in righteousness rather than deliberately setting out to live without God, deliberately resisting Him. Go the other way. Turn away from the world. Turn away from sin. Desire to live a life that is pleasing to God. Sow to yourselves in righteousness. I don't want to go my way anymore. I want to go your way, Lord. I want to sow that way. I want to seek you. I want to live a life that is pleasing in your sight. You repent. You sow to yourselves in righteousness. You seek after a holy life. And you have faith. Faith in the mercy of God. Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy. You have faith in the mercy of God. You confess your sins. Remember last week, Mr. South, preaching from that tremendous verse in the first letter of John. If we confess our sins to God, he is faithful and just to forgive us all our sins. There is mercy with God. Do you have faith in that? There is mercy. God will receive me. Even if I've rejected him a million times, there is mercy in God. Even if I've hated the things of God and spurned them and mocked other Christians, even if I've committed great sins, terrible sins in my life, you need faith. Mercy is great in God. His mercy endureth forever. That's the faith that we have. God will receive me, and God will receive me because of Christ. Christ is the only reason why we have mercy, why we receive mercy. How can God just forgive us if we come to him? Does he not need to punish my sin? No, because Christ took the punishment for your sin. He suffered and died. Lord, punish me instead of them. I will take their punishment. And because he has done that, well, that's the only way that we may receive mercy. Christ has suffered and died so that we may receive mercy. What a glorious Savior we have. Do you have faith? Is that your faith? It must be your faith. That is the way of salvation, and it is time to seek the Lord. Don't delay any further. Let's just look at those final words in verse 12. For it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. Well, rain, whenever you hear the word rain, normally we think that's bad. But remember, this is an agricultural illustration. This is a farming illustration. And for farmers, rain is good. Rain is good because it produces an abundant harvest, a wonderful harvest, much fruit. And you know, if we apply that spiritually, that's what happens when you come to God. When you repent, when you have faith, there is a great harvest in your life. There is fruit in your life. There are fruits of righteousness. You are able to overcome your sins. You are able to turn away from sin. You could never do that before, but now there's real fruit, and everyone can see it. You have the fruit of the Holy Spirit. You have peace within. You have love for God. You're a changed person, and you know that you're right with God. You're right with God because of Christ. Your faith has made you righteous in the sight of God. There is a rain of righteousness upon you, and then at the very end, there's everlasting life. We know that when Christ comes, he will bring with him a new heaven and a new earth. A new heaven and a new earth. And how is it described? A new heaven and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. And really, those words in the book of the prophet Hosea, that is when they will reach their true fulfillment, till he come and rain righteousness upon you. When Christ comes, there will be such an abundant rain of righteousness upon us. We will be soaked in it, a place of eternal peace, a place of eternal joy, no longer any war or rumors of war, no longer any plague or disease, perfect and glorious righteousness. This is ultimately what this prophecy is pointing to, and what a glorious thing it is. But dear friends, will you be there? Will you be there? Or will you have wasted your time in this life, seeking after things that ultimately do not matter? When Christ comes, will you be accepted? You had faith in him. You repented of all your sin. And you knew that blessedness of salvation. Dear friends, look at the world around you. Look at the world around you. This is not the time to resist God. This is the time to seek the Lord. Come to the Lord, humble yourself before him, and seek that salvation that can only be found in Christ alone. Well, may the Lord bless all these things to us.